Hello.
Hi, Amy.
Hello, Mum. This is Amy Beecher interviewing Ruth Beecher on the 10th of April 2018. Can you confirm that you consent to being involved in this project?
Yep, I've read the information sheet and I consent to being involved.
Perfect. So for our first set of interviews, we're focusing on ages 15 to 29, your experiences during that period of your life. So maybe you could give us an introduction about where you were born and where you grew up. And
yes, I was born in Cork in the Bon Secours Hospital, and I grew up in Cork in Ballinlough on a housing estate which had the road, the grove and the avenue, number 27 Silverdale Road, with my mum and my dad and my brother Adam, who was 4 years younger than me. So I was born in 1968 and he was born in 1972.
So when you were 15, where were you going to school?
I was going to school in Ashton, which is I presume still, a mixed kind of non-denominational school, or maybe it was Church of Ireland, but most schools in Cork were Catholic. And this school was mostly Church of Ireland, i.e. Protestant, with some Catholics, and I think they had a quota, and then like some atheists and Jehovah's Witnesses and people like that.
And why did your parents choose for you to go there rather than one of the other schools?
I wanted to go there myself, probably mainly because I thought it would be less strict and there would be boys there. And most of the other schools were like single sex Catholic. And also my mum is a Protestant and my dad's Catholic. And my mum went to the sort of parent school of Ashton. So there were two schools there, like a grammar school and Rochelle, which was kind of boarding and day. And my mum went to Rochelle as a day pupil.
Mm.
So I thought it would be nice to go to the same sort of school as my mother had gone to.
Mm-hmm.
So I did an entrance exam and I got a place at Ashton, which was like, I was really chuffed about.
Mm.
So when I was 15, I was, I think that was 1983. So I would have done my intercert in the summer, in June of 1983. And yeah, that meant you finished school like quite early, like May, June time, you had exams.
Mm-hmm. How did you find school? Did you like the like academic part of it? Did you enjoy it or not?
I think age 15 I was like still pretty academic, so I did well in my intercert, like I got a couple of A's and mostly B's, and but I was starting to get diverted into more exciting things than schoolwork, if you know what I mean. Like, I was really into drama at school. I was terrible at sport, but I was into drama, and I was starting to get picked for school plays and things like that. Go to rehearsals after school and that kind of thing. And then that summer that I was 15, like, I think that year that I was in, we called it the third year. I guess you would have called it year nine. Yeah, I was just like starting to get really into music and books and get a lot more confident and a lot more popular. I'd been quite the quiet person in school. So I kind of lost, I was never that totally academic. I was like clever enough to get by on non-technical subjects, but not very dedicated, you might say.
And did you make most of your friends at school? Did you meet people doing plays or from your classes?
From my year, I would say. So in the first year, I knew nobody going to Ashton from primary school. All my friends were going somewhere else. And my mum's friend, Ethel, her niece was going to go to Ashton. So like they paired us up in effect. So in the first year, her name was Tanya Messick. And I used to hang around with her in the first year, and I was pretty quiet. I think I made maybe one other friend, Janet Johnston, who wanted to be a ballerina. And then in the second year, I started to make friends with the people who are still my friends. So Elsa, my best friend, and another friend of ours, Stephanie Vink, who was Dutch, and you know, some other people. And then but in the summers we used to go to Gary Vaux, which is in East Cork. It's like a lovely long strand with a hotel and caravan parks. We had a caravan there.
Mm.
And so I started to meet other, I had already started to meet other friends down there. So my other best friend I met at the seaside when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I used to, like, from the age of about 13 or 14, we used to also meet in town every Saturday and walk around town looking at all the talent, which is like all the good looking boys. And so from 15 I started to make more friends outside of school.
Mm.
And actually from 14 we started to go to the pub, so...
Oh really?
Yeah. So we met like a lot of people then outside of school.
Mm-hmm. So it was easier to drink underage than it is in London.
It was then. I don't know
about
that
now.
It is now. Yeah. So you just got your birth cert and you photocopied your birth cert and then you tip-exed out the date and then you typed in a new date and then you photocopied it again and you just carried that around.
You carried your birth certificate around with you? Or
well, just if you were challenged, like. You know, if you started to get challenged, you'd carry it around with
you. Yeah. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
So that summer you were 15, did you spend that in Gary Vaux?
I was in a lot of trouble sometime around. I was in trouble because I had this friend. So Norma, my friend from Gary Vaux, lived in Montanotti, and she had another friend called Debbie, and I became friend with Debbie, and my parents were in Gary Vaux, and we had two boys back to the house, and my neighbour, who lived on the right hand side of our house, who would have had to come out of her house, cross the road to look at what was happening in our house in the middle of the night, obviously did that.
Oh my God.
And then so I came out of school one day and I was meeting Debbie Brennan. She'd walked out from town to our school, and my dad was in the car and he took me home and basically chased me around the living room with his belt. He didn't actually hit me with it, but he did literally chase me around the living room.
Oh my God.
Because we'd had boys in the house overnight.
Who
were
the boys?
Nothing happened. There were just these two boys that used to walk around town. And they, like, we thought they were very good looking. They were a little bit older than us, like, if we were 15. But they weren't old, like, they were probably 19 or 18 or something. And, I don't know, they wore trench coats and they had spiky hair.
Oh,
and we thought they were really good looking. Actually, later on, we figured they might have been gay. They weren't particularly interested in girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, really, nothing did happen?
Nothing happened. No, nothing happened at all. But anyway, we got absolutely massacred. So, that was... So, I think after that, I was probably maybe... did go to Gary Vaux that summer. But I had been, like... Yeah, from that point forward, or around that point, I was often in the house on my own in the summer as well, so that was good for like parties or staying out late or whatever.
Why was that?
Because Mum and Dad and Adam went to Gary Vaux.
Oh, I see, you were in the house in
yeah.
Cork on your own.
Yeah, so it's good for socialising.
Mm.
Yeah.
So is that what you... Would you have parties?
Yeah, we had some house parties, yeah.
You'd invite people from school and people from town and...
No, we'd just go to the pub and everybody would come back to my house.
Oh, right.
They weren't like organised parties.
Mm-hmm.
They were just a lot of people would end up
closing
at your house.
Time.
You need to make sure there wasn't too many, like, that kind of thing.
Mm.
Yeah, we didn't have loads, but we definitely had sometimes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
So were your parents, were they strict then when you were growing up? Were there other belt chasing incidents or was that the main event?
There were definitely other incidents, but probably they all happened when I was, mostly happened when I was 14, 15, around that age.
Mm.
And then it was more like, if we know where you are and you tell us you're not going to be home till whatever, then that's fine sort of thing. It was a little bit more relaxed. They were definitely more relaxed than other people's parents. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You had more freedom.
I had more freedom in a way, yeah.
Why do you think 14, 15 was... the peak?
I just started to drink and stay out
and boys.
I think my dad got
then.
A kick out of it. Like, so when I was 14, I met this guy called Martin Lucy, who was actually one of your dad's best friends.
The one with the jumpers.
Jumpers, yeah, mohair jumpers. He was kind of punky.
Mm.
And actually, Norma really fancied him, so she used to like go, "Oh, look, there's Martin Lucy," when we were walking up and down Patrick Street. But one day I'd gone home from town on a Saturday, it was a lovely sunny day, and Norma rang me. She was like, I'm in a phone box with Martin Lucy and he wants to ask you on a date. And I was like, oh my God, this is awkward. So that was like my first sort of date. He wanted me to go to see to the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I said to Dad, Dad, a boy's asked me to go to the pictures. And he was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. And I said, oh, you know, but he's a punk. Is that okay? And he was like, yeah, that's fine. He thought it was very funny.
Oh
so, yeah. So, like, yeah, I had Martin Lucy was my boyfriend when I was 14 for a while. And then I met this guy called Tony O'Sullivan, who was 23, I think.
When you were 15?
Yeah.
Woo.
He'd just broken up with a woman who was like in her 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So where if I went anywhere and all of her friends would go like, oh, look at her, she's so young.
Oh,
and blah, blah, blah.
My God.
Yeah. I think he was probably very, very annoying person. But at the time I thought he was very tall and handsome. He was in a play in one of the arts centres. So like, basically, the first time I met him, Martin Lucy walked me to the bus stop to get the last bus home.
Mm.
And I got on the bus and he sat beside me and he had his play script and everything.
Oh,
it was
my God.
Like quite, you know what I mean?
An art boy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So how long did you go out with him for?
Not long, a few months. And then, so that would have been, I don't know, 80... Okay, so sometime in 83... and then in the autumn, it was the intercert results. The intercert results came out, and we were all told, make sure you stay in school. So we immediately all bunked off, and then we all got suspended.
Oh, no.
We only went into town, like, it was... Anyway, my dad got called
on results day?
Yeah, on results day,
oh,
we bunked
they
off.
They make you stay.
Yeah, they made
you... They don't even try and make us stay. You come in and collect them and leave, because they know.
Yeah. But they did anyway.
Mm.
And they called my dad in and said to my dad, did he think I had mental health problems?
Because you bunked off?
I don't know. Maybe it was something that the deputy head had wanted to say to my family
for a while.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
What do you think he would have observed that prompted him to
say that? I don't know. I was very attention seeking. And I was like very like, it was like, obviously it was the fashion at the time to be quite depressed. And, you know, it was the 80s. It was like new wave and...
Romantic, melancholic.
Kind of, yeah. But also, I was kind of like a strange person. I was quite outgoing, but also, you know, my parents didn't have a good marriage. My mother was not very happy, so she put a lot of, until I was around 14, 15, I shared a bedroom with my mum like for years. So.
Mm.
It was only when they converted the attic when I was about 14 that I got my own bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a love looking after mom. She was very moody and like you'd have to tiptoe around her sometimes. And then other times she'd be really lovely and she was very supportive.
Mm.
And I think partly I got a lot of freedom because they sort of felt guilty or you know what I mean?
So did they always sleep in separate rooms? Was it always that sleeping arrangement that you remembered? Like, did you share with your mum from when you were little until that age, or...?
I really can't remember. I know that from... Definitely from early secondary school, like, yeah, I was sharing with mum, and the story was that Dad snored very badly, sort of thing.
Oh,
that
right.
was the cover story, so she couldn't sleep.
But you were not... You knew that was not... Or you, did you buy it at the time, or...?
No. She talked a lot about the marriage and, you know, all of her problems, and, yeah... She was, like, very needy.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So what was... Yeah, you say they didn't have a good relationship. How could you expand on that, like?
My dad's very sociable, I think, or... He's very gregarious. He goes out a lot. He used to drink a lot. He played hockey. He had a lot of work, sort of social things. He'd go to the pub with his mates every Friday, and mum, and like I think when they were younger, there were dinner dances and that sort of thing, like with his sisters or whatever.
Mm.
They'd all ended by the time, mostly ended by the time I was old enough to really notice. But anyway, mum basically hated going out. hated going on holiday. She like would like, if we were going on holiday in July, she'd start to like be stressed about it when it was booked in March or something, and it was just like, so everything was quite difficult, you know what I mean? And so eventually they came to a kind of a, some kind of an accommodation with each other around the mid-teens for me, where they kind of had separate lives, but then they had a very good relationship about certain things. Like we'd go out for tea every week, you know, we'd go to a restaurant and the four of us, me and Adam and mum and dad, and have a nice meal, and they got on quite well. It was like they decided they weren't, I don't know, they just accommodated to each other.
Did you get the impression that it was like that, that it had always been like that? Like, that Granny was always antisocial, whatever you choose to call it, or that it was something, that there was a change? Like, and why did they get married? Like, I suppose I don't really understand, like, this social situation that at the time, but do you get the impression that they got married like because they like loved each other and they got on well, or like, and then something changed, or
I don't really know why they got married. I'd say they did fall in love. I mean, she was 31 or something when they met. She was quite old for a person of that at that time. She got pregnant before they were married, but they were engaged, so they would have got married anyway. They didn't get married because she was pregnant, as far as I know. And then after she had me in 1968, she had like a massive breakdown and was hospitalized, and it might have been postnatal depression, but also her mother had committed suicide when she was 21 and nobody had ever talked about that, so that was 10 years later sort of thing, you know what I mean? So I guess I really don't know. Maybe they sort of accommodated each other more when they were just married, and then I think my mum's postnatal depression, and then I don't know. I think they thought they wouldn't have another baby, and then they had Adam, and I think that was a better experience for her. But she didn't really get on well with my dad's family. She didn't get on with them at all. In fact, she never felt like she was welcomed into the family. But also, she probably wasn't very, you know, she found them too much. So she probably wasn't very friendly to them. And yeah, it was just all very difficult. Yeah, so I think they had a few years then of really like not getting on, and my dad raging at her and her raging back. And then they kind of calmed down when, as I say, around that time when I was around 15, 16, 17. I actually thought my mum would leave him at that point in
time.
And I was really, really bitterly disappointed then when she didn't. She kind of seemed to come out of herself, and I thought he was holding her back. And it wasn't until quite a few years later that I realised that's maybe not exactly what's happened here. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
But also I thought he was unreasonable. Like, I thought he drank too much, he was always going out. But actually, she must have been really hard to live with as a partner as well as a mum, if you see what I mean. So yeah, it's hard to know. My dad would never really talk about it, and obviously mum would have her own opinions about it.
And so she leaned on you a lot for like emotional support?
She leaned on me a lot. And then she had a kind of a time when I was in my teens, around this 15 to sort of 17, where she actually, like, my friends would come back to the house a lot. She'd drive us around. She liked a lot of the music we liked. She kind of enjoyed the company of younger people, and she didn't really enjoy dad's company or his friends. She thought they were stupid, which they kind of, some of them were very male chauvinist and all of that. So she kind of came out of herself, but then, yeah, I had to decide then whether to leave Cork, and that was very hard to leave. But then I left and she was fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was like, yeah, it was a big consideration.
Yeah. What age were you when you left?
20.
20?
Mm-hmm.
So what made you decide to go? Were your friends moving in?
Well, I had been seeing your dad off and on since I was 15, so I think we'd met in the I did meet him when I was 14, because I met him when I was going out with Martin Lucy. I met him outside the Queen's Old Castle, where he was buying hamster food for Martin Lucy's hamster. Ziggy, the hamster, named after Ziggy Stardust, David Bowie. And then I met him again at the when we went to the Intersert, like, results night. There was a dance at Spiders Disco.
Spiders.
SPY, I believe.
Oh.
And so I went with Martin Lucy, and he went with a girl who became a friend then, Elaine Kelleher. And yeah, and then the following year, we met up again, and that was 1984, early in 1984, I think.
Mm. So was it like these early relationships that you had? It sounds very like, I was about to say equivocal, but I think I'm using that word wrong. Like, it seems from the way you describe it, like, you were seeing people and then you weren't, but like, at the time, did you experience it? Did you have drama?
Major drama, yeah.
Crushes,
yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
The highs and the lows.
It was all very exciting and very dramatic, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Definitely.
And what were you all doing about, like, contraception?
Okay, so I didn't sleep with Martin Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we messed around, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't sleep with Tony O'Sullivan.
Art boy.
Theatre boy. I think he was at college, and I remember he was writing this essay about Rousseau in French. Man is born in chains but sets himself free.
Oh my God.
In French.
Oh my God.
You can imagine what my dad made of him, right? So, yeah, kind of messed around. I don't think I slept with anyone properly until your dad.
Mm.
And that wasn't straight away, like, but it was quite messy from the start, because I think I can't remember, like, we broke up and got together a few times. So anyway, we were somewhere, your dad walked me home, we kissed, we were sort of together, and that, I mean, we were together.
Mm.
We were in the way you are when you're very young, if you know what I mean. And then me and Elsa and Stephanie went on a school tour to Holland, and I got off with somebody else from school. It was actually somebody I never would have ever, it was just one of those things, you're away. And then I think, yeah, then I don't know.
And did you feel, were you like, oh no? Or were you?
I wasn't sure, I think. I wasn't sure at all, yeah. So there were a few on again, off agains like that. And then we were on for quite a long time. And
what, like months or?
Yeah, like, I think like 18 months or quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we had like a couple of really, really glorious years, like 16, 17. I don't know, it was just a lot of bands, music, going on trips.
Where did you go on trips?
We went down to West Cork, we went to like Kenmare, we went to Skull, we just got drunk, and yeah, it was just like a really, really good time. Everybody was talking about books and music and going to secondhand shops and buying like singles and clothes, and it was just really fabulous time. Really great. And we had like a really big group of very lovely friends. Like, I had friends my own age, and then I had friends in their early 20s, sort of thing. So it was quite a wide group. And it was just really, really fun. And then I think your dad was in a band, and I was in a band. Your dad was in a band for longer than me, and then I was in a kind of a much more novelty band, if you know what I mean. And I don't know exactly what happened, but everything got very cliquey, if you know what I mean, in different groups, and there was lots of fallings out. And then I fell in love with Dave, who was in my band, and like really sort of, just like embarrassed your dad by getting off with him in a sort of like a bar or something like that. It was really hurtful, and I went out with Dave for a while, and then your dad and I got back together. And I think then from about, I think around the sort of 19, oh, so I did my leaving cert, did okay, like not great. Left school, didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was working in a clothes shop for a while, did a secretarial course, had a terrible job in a garage in Carrig Tool. And yeah, it just got like, I think I really wanted to leave, but I kind of kept breaking up with your dad. It was more for something to do because I wasn't quite able to leave, if you know what I mean. And like the last year that I was there, I think like some of all. Anyway, your dad and I broke up. I think that would have been 1987 or 8. So the last few years in Cork was like literally quite heavy drinking and just like getting off with loads of people. Not loads of people, but a few different people. And it just wasn't very enjoyable. And yeah, like people were starting to use different drugs and I wasn't really into all of that.
Like
And it,
what?
well, I think just like maybe cocaine and just smoking a lot of weed, and people just would go off into rooms, if you know what I mean. I was never in the rooms, so I didn't quite know what was going on,
Yeah.
but it just all
Change the
became,
atmosphere.
it changed the atmosphere. And a friend of ours, and especially your dad's, his girlfriend was kind of quite cliquey, and then there was a lot of drama because she got pregnant and like hid the pregnancy, and I didn't know about that for a long time. So
Why?
why did she hide it? Well, they didn't want to keep the baby, and they had the baby adopted, like,
Oh, right.
yeah. So very few people knew that she was pregnant. I didn't know until very late in the day. I felt really guilty then about thinking she was a not a very nice person, because obviously she'd been going through a lot of stuff, you know. So
'Cause she couldn't get an abortion.
well, she wouldn't have been able to get an abortion, or she may not have wanted to. I mean, I think she came to London to for the last sort of period of the pregnancy and gave the baby up for for adoption. So I guess maybe she could have done that earlier and had an abortion, but maybe she didn't. I mean, a lot of
Maybe she
people
didn't want
didn't
to.
believe in it, even for themselves, even if they felt that they were pro-choice, they would think that they wouldn't want to do it, if you know what I mean. I don't remember whether we ever talked about it. But yeah, so there was a lot of different people knew different things, and just people were just, you know, I guess it's a really small town and there were a lot of big fish and big egos there and people in bands, and so they were always falling out with each other and that kind of thing. We still had a very good laugh and did loads of stuff. But I was getting like really, I was just drinking way too much and getting quite, I mean, I'm quite a dramatic, melodramatic person anyway, so it just wasn't that good for me. And then Elsa left in 1988. She came to London. So I stuck it out for another year and then I came to London in 89, March 89. And I just said to everyone, like, I'm going to London for 6 months, see you in 6 months, or I might stay. Because I thought, oh, I'll have a safety net. It won't be embarrassing if I
If you
go
come
back
back,
and
yeah,
I've
you're not
like
like,
completely
I'm
failed.
emigrating, and then you're like, hello, it's me again.
Yeah.
How did
So,
your
and your
family?
dad had started going out with somebody else, you know, the famous Suzanne.
Suzanne.
Yeah, for about a year or 2 years, maybe even before. So that was really difficult for me because even though obviously it was all over for us kind of thing, it was just really hard to, you'd go into a bar, they'd be there. I was still friendly with Eve and Kim, so it was just like awkward, basically. So, yeah, so London then.
And your family, what did they think when you moved? Like, were they fine with you moving? Were they like, how did
I think they were
your mum and
fine.
dad feel about it? They were all right.
I was very worried about my mum, but she held up stoically and sent me letters about every day for, you know.
What was yours and Adam's relationship like when you were teenagers?
we didn't have that much to do with each other.
No.
4 years.
I feel like with that age gap, and if you're the opposite genders, yeah, that's often the way.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I didn't really, you know, he used to just storm around a lot.
Was he an angry teen?
He was kind of like, yeah, he just was a bit awkward. I think he used to play like Dungeons and Dragons or some things like that. Mm. And he had his own mates, and yeah, we didn't cross over that much. Mm. So I didn't really know him that well.
So there was no tearful farewell.
No, with Adam, no, definitely not, no.
So where did you move to when you went to London? What time of year was it when you moved?
March. And I moved in with Elsa in a flat in Gowlett Road, SE.
Gowlett Road?
Yeah.
The Gowlett Arms. I like the Gowlett Arms.
Yeah, we used to go to the Gowlett Arms a few times. So it was basically, I forget what number it was, but it was the upstairs, like the first floor flat, and she lived with Stella, Joe Murphy, Catherine Coleman. Was there somebody else? Nobody I can think of at the moment. And so all Cork people.
Mm.
Me and Elsa shared a bedroom.
Mm. Was it cheap then? Did you save before you moved? What did you do? Like,
My parents always used to give me money.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I think I had saved. Mm. I mean, I was working all the time, so... and basically I think I had enough, like, to sort of, I knew I needed to get a job within a month, and I did do that, but obviously I was nervous that I wouldn't. It was very kind of like, I think I was working as a nursing assistant in the Maudsley. Joe Murphy was working at the Guardian selling advertising. Stella was temping, secretarial. I don't remember what Carl Coleman was doing, and like, it was just a very typical shared house with people stealing each other's food and complaining about smelly feet. Mm. And they had they used to go to Irish pubs and stuff.
Did they go to the Swan?
Well, I even went to the Swan once. But it wasn't for me. You know what I mean? Mm. I said to Elsa, I did not come to London to sit in an Irish pub.
To like, be on
you wouldn't
the
be,
scene.
You wouldn't be seen dead in an Irish pub and talking to people. I had wanted to come to London, like, to go to, you know, gigs and like the Tube used to broadcast sometimes from like the Town and Country Club, as it was then, the Forum, and I was like, oh, I want to be there, you know what I mean? It's all happening, the bands are there, and like everybody looks fantastic, their clothes and their hair and their makeup and everything. So no, I didn't come to, like, so they used to all go to the pub, and I like used to sit in the flat listening to pirate radio stations.
Oh my god.
Dancing around, like, whatever I really, you know. Bit weird. And then the flat downstairs became free, so me and Elsa rented that flat.
Oh, nice. How much was the rent?
I think it was, I want to say £200 each a month, like £400 a month.
The
but
dream.
I was only paid something like £8,000 a year.
Wow.
I think in my first job.
Mm.
And Elsa had been crazy about this guy at work for about, I don't know, 6 months.
Mm.
Before I got to London, and I think something ludicrous, like the night before I arrived in London, she got off with this guy.
Oh, right.
And then they were madly in love, so it was like really, it became really tedious.
Oh.
Because every time I'd go home, he would be there, or else she'd be going to his place or whatever. So that was like quite difficult. And then after, I don't know how long, a year or 9 months or something, she decided to move in with him.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. So she moved in with him, and he lived in Stepney in a...
What?
It was a flat a bit like this, actually, but on the Ocean Estate, which was a little bit rough. And, but I was glad at that point in time,
because
I was so... She was so... They were both annoying me so much, and it was, you know, very difficult.
Mm.
Yeah, so then I got a flatmate from Loot magazine.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
The back page.
And she was kind of bonkers, but nice.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what was the first job you got when you moved to London?
It was for the Soldiers, Sailors and Airmen's Families Association.
Mm.
And it was right in the middle of Westminster, looking over the back of the building, overlooked St. James's Park.
Mm.
And it was like a secretarial PA type job. They had this massive, like, IBM computer. It was like bigger than this table,
mm-hmm.
and like it was like, you know, those huge like multifunctional photocopiers.
Oh yeah,
it was way bigger than that.
Oh, God.
And every computer in the building was like cabled together, so if one cable broke, all the computers in the line would go off. They weren't PCs, they were like computers connected to this thing. And so I started to do other things, like you know, some finance stuff, and to start learning how to run this computer thing.
Mm.
So I was there from 89 to 93, I think.
Were you?
I had you while I was there.
Mm.
It was very conservative, obviously. Lots of colonels and generals and brigadiers.
Did you have to
and
dress conservative?
Yes. Yeah, I used to wear like skirt suits. And yeah.
I was going to say skirt suits.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I did forever there. I think I wore trousers, but you wouldn't wear jeans and things like that. And then while we were there, we moved from Westminster, where they rented the building, to would have been one of the early warehouse conversions at Tower Bridge.
Mm.
And so that they refurbed that whole building, and we moved there. So I was at Tower Bridge then for a few years.
Mm.
And I had you. They had a car park, so I was able to drive you to Auntie Claire's to be looked after.
Mm.
So I'd drive from like Tulse Hill back to like over to Wandsworth Common, and then I'd drive back around the South Circular to Tower Bridge every day, and then go and do it again in the evening. But it was quite handy when you were young.
So if you've had me, we've definitely skipped.
Oh yeah, we skipped a lot of stuff, didn't we? Yeah.
So how did that happen?
So 1991 then it would have been, around April, your dad was in the Power Dreams, had been for a few years, and they were playing somewhere at the World's End in Camden, and me and Elsa were going to see, I want to say De La Soul, but it wasn't De La Soul. I think it was the Jungle Brothers in the Town and Country Club.
Mm.
And so we went to that, and then we knew that your dad was going to be... Is that right? No. No. The night before that, Power Dreams were playing in Notting Hill.
Okay.
In... I forget what the club is, but you'd know it if I said it. It's still there, I think. So we went to see them there. And... I think we talked to Bunty after the gig. I don't think we saw your dad. And Bunty said to us, oh, we're going to be at the World's End tomorrow night. Were they playing there, or were they just going there after something? I don't really know.
What made you decide to like go at all? Or, like, were your friends going? Like,
to the place where your dad would be?
Or to the gig, either? Both?
To the gig... Well, I would have wanted to see your dad. I mean, I think we probably would have gone to see anybody we had known anyway and play in London, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely wanted to see your dad. And actually, they didn't know we were there, so it was quite nice to be just standing there and watching them. Keith and Craig had a big fight on the stage.
Did
also.
They?
Yeah, so I think... Yeah, like Keith knocked over all his drums and Craig smashed it. It was all very dramatic.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They were always fighting, weren't they? Because they were brothers. And yeah. So then the next night we went to the Jungle Brothers, and then we went and called to the pub, and we were talking to Bunty and your dad. And then we ended up talking for a long time. Your dad and I had a really good, funny, good laugh and... really just nice conversation. And then I remember trying to get your dad to come back to my flat. I was living in this not that nice flat in Bermondsey. So I had been living in Tulse Hill, and I was sort of flat sitting for Nikki Tagg, my friend. Her and Guy had gone traveling around the world, and she offered me her flat to flat sit. And like a fool, I insisted that they change the tenancy over to me. Because I didn't, if something went wrong while they were away, I didn't want to be left like not having any right to be there and needing like something fixed or something. But it was bad because when they came back, the landlord evicted them because they didn't have, they'd lost their tenancy. Yeah. Anyway, they were very good about it. But after that, this friend of a friend was travelling and her flat in Bermondsey, she was looking for someone to rent. So I rented that. It was like peach, literally peach. It was very like this flat in terms of shape, if you know what I mean. But it was just one bedroom and it was peach and it had a peach leather couch. And then up on the top of the wall, you know, what do they call those things?
Oh.
The little panel of wallpaper that goes around the top and had peaches on it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so I was there and I remember that night like trying to persuade your dad to come back and stay there. And he was like, no, I can't because we're going somewhere tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. I come back to the hotel. So we went back to this hotel in Bayswater and I stayed the night. And then in the morning, there was a lot of like, as I walked out through reception and everybody was like, various people from court were there, like knowing the history and whatever. But that was April. And then I heard nothing from your father whatsoever between April and June, I think.
Did you try and contact him?
I think I sent him a really, I sent him a really rude letter.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did the letter say?
I was just really prone to writing angry letters when I was young. Like they tried to be funny, but also to.
Oh my God.
I can't, it was just too embarrassing. It was like, you know, basically like.
What did it say?
Something about not contacting me, but
right,
you know,
right.
Couched in about. Anyway, I just, it's too embarrassing to talk about, but I definitely would have sent him that.
I can't believe you had to do a letter. Like, you're lucky you didn't have a mobile.
But I didn't actually know where he was, if you see what I mean. He was touring with the Power Dreams.
So where did you send the letter?
To Greenwood.
Greenwood.
In fact, Eve read some of my letters, she confessed many years later, because
really?
She was sleeping in that room and she found them in a drawer. I was
Oh
my God. So then,
So when you'd like, in April or whatever, did you wanted to get back together or what? Or you didn't know, but you wanted to be in contact anyway?
No, I think I did.
Want to get back
together. And I think your dad probably didn't.
What happened to Suzanne?
She was gone by then.
Oh, okay.
So when they were going out together and then your dad got the call from the Power of Dreams to say they were looking for a guitarist, they stayed together for a while after that. But then I think he broke it off with her because he was away a lot and it wasn't, you know. So then in the June, me and my flatmate and my ex-flatmate, I forget which was which now, but Maxine Banforth, who was this friend of mine from Newcastle, and Sarah Killick, who I used to live with, went to Cork. We drove in Sarah's car. We went on the ferry. And your dad was there. So we hooked up at Greenwood. I believe that's when you were conceived.
Oh my God.
July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February. Yeah. So, yeah.
At Greenwood, oh my God. I've
at
never
Greenwood.
Known that when I've been
you
there.
Didn't know that?
No.
Okay. And so then.
Wait, how did it happen?
It was just like.
Did you practice
irresponsible
safe sex?
No.
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 Is it true what you used to say to me that that's your only indiscretion? Or
yes.
It's true.
Yes.
Oh my God. Terrifying.
Yeah. I think like when we later decided to have Alice, which is out of this time period, I know, like as soon as we decided, we're going to have another baby.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think it's just, not now, obviously. I don't know which side of the family that comes from.
Good to know.
Yeah. So that was June. And then I didn't see your dad again for another few months. Sent another letter.
When you sent the second letter, did you know you were pregnant?
Yes. And I was like...
So how did you find out what happened when you found out you were pregnant? How did you find out you were pregnant?
I think my period didn't come and I just did a pregnancy test.
Where were you when you did it?
Well, I did one in the flat and in London. I was in London all the time. And I also went to, would have been Guy's Hospital, to have a proper pregnancy test done.
Mm.
And the lady was laughing at me. She was like, what? You've done one at home? Well, they're better than ours. Ours are NHS.
Oh,
like, they're, you know, yours will tell you. Because I, anyway, I can't remember whether hers said positive or negative. But, yeah, she said the home one is more sensitive than the NHS ones, which I had no idea about, of course. So...
And did you tell people? Did you tell, like, friend or...?
I definitely would have told Elsa.
Mm.
And the few friends that were... Yeah, few friends that were around.
Did you know that you, like, wanted to have a babe, have the baby, have me?
Totally. Yeah. Never considered not having the baby.
Mm.
And I was really adamant, like, I don't... It doesn't matter to me whether Ian wants to be a part of the baby's life or not.
Mm.
Obviously, he needs to know, but I'm still going to have the baby, etc.
Did you know before that that you really... That would have been your decision? Or did it? Was it, like, instinctive when you knew you were pregnant?
I think I... Like, yeah, I knew before.
Mm-hmm.
I would have wanted a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Not actively, but...
Passively.
There was no... It was not... Like, I didn't... have sex with your dad without any contraception because I wanted to have to get pregnant. Absolutely
no.
Not. But I would have often thought about having a baby, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so then I rang Greenwood at some stage because I had no idea where your dad was.
Mm.
Turned out he was in Bath making an album.
Alright.
So eventually a letter got to your dad and we met up and I told him.
Did the letter say that you were pregnant?
No, asked to meet up.
Right.
So we met downstairs in a pub in Chinatown, in a bar called... No, we didn't. We were going to meet downstairs, but we didn't because it was closed. So we met upstairs in a pub in Chinatown. I think it's gone now or called something else.
Mm.
And I told him.
How did he react?
Quietly. He wasn't horrified.
Mm.
But I had quite a long speech, you know, made.
Did you? Yeah, were you prepared?
So I'm not sure how much actually time
how much he
would
spoke.
Have, how much he could have got a word in, you know, I was like,
whatever.
And I think that was the September. And I remember around my birthday.
So you were quite pregnant then?
No.
Quite pregnant,
you weren't due
like
till
that.
March.
Oh, okay.
So no.
No.
July,
months.
August, September. I was only 3 months pregnant.
Mm.
So in October then, it was my birthday and we went to see the Psychedelic Furs.
Mm.
Possibly again in the Town and Country Club.
Mm.
And then your dad came back to my flat as it was at the time and stayed the night. And then we were pretty much inseparable after that. It just happened. It was like, oh, let's just see how it goes.
Mm.
And there was no, you know.
Mm.
But yeah, it went, so that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then we had you.
So when did you tell your family that you were pregnant?
Not that late, but I found it far more difficult than I had expected to.
Mm.
And I went home and it was late enough that I was showing, I know that.
Mm.
And then we went out to dinner at Jury's and I told them at the dinner table. And they were like, oh, I knew something was up and blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
I actually
right.
told Adam first, which was highly unusual. Yeah, yeah.
Why?
I just...
Or it just happened?
No, I just I was like, I need to tell Mum and Dad I'm pregnant.
Mm.
He was fine about it. He'd already had his illegitimate child, so...
Of course. Yeah, how old were you when that happened?
Well, his son... was older than you, so so his son must have been born in 1990 or yeah, so I was 21 maybe.
So you were
I must have been in London. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I guess you didn't observe that close quarters.
There's probably a lot
in
Mum's letters over there. There's probably a lot of stuff
about that.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I haven't read them again. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Because he yeah, his girlfriend got pregnant, and her family, I think, strongly blamed Adam for it. And I think Mum went up to apologize for Adam's carelessness.
Wow.
You know, they lived at the top of our park.
Yeah,
and so I think that must have cost her quite a lot to go and do that. Mm. And I don't think she got a great reception. I think the dad was trying to be more understanding, and the mum was just raging.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they, yeah, went through that, and I think put the baby up for adoption in Dublin then, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, so I wasn't there. It wasn't a very real thing to me, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So then they were all right when you told them that you were pregnant?
I think they were a little bit worried about, would I have enough money? Could I manage? And blah, blah, blah. But they were fine. They were like, oh, if you're happy, love. And, blah, blah, blah. And to be fair to my mum, like, your dad was away a lot just after. So he was on tour when we were told that you were going to need to be a cesarean because you were a breech. They booked the date, and then your dad was on tour right up to the date that you were born, and then went back on tour within a few days. And my mum came, and I was in this little flat in Tulse Hill, the flat that Nikki and Guy's flat, they were away in Australia, and she like just brought me hot cross buns and cups of tea, and I didn't have a washing machine. She went down to Tulse Hill with all my washing and went to the laundrette for me, and you know, she was just like really nurturing, and she stayed for like probably 2 or 3 weeks.
Was it difficult with dad away right after? I think it's hard for me to imagine.
I was just looking at the dates today, and I hadn't realized, to be honest, that he was away for that period. It may have been that he was coming back, like that he was away for 2 or 3 days, and he wasn't in Japan or anywhere.
He was in
the UK, so it's quite possible that it didn't feel that bad because he was coming back. I was actually like completely overwhelmed when I had you. I didn't know whether I was coming or going. I didn't know what to do with baby. I was wanting to be a very competent mother, but you know, obviously everything I ever do, I just look in a book, and I had done all my spotting. I had I had the pregnancy books out throughout the pregnancy and the new baby books and everything, but it doesn't actually prepare you for an actual baby. And like I remember the day, like the GP called around to check you or whatever, and like, you know, had to take off your nappy and like picked you up, and you just shat all over me.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, I just couldn't cope.
That's horrifying.
It was really hard, and no sleep, and you were quite colicky in the evenings. You used to cry from about 7 to 11 or 12 at night. So when your dad was there, he used to just walk up and down for hours with you on his shoulder or whatever. So the first few months were a bit of a blur. It was, yeah. And we went back to Ireland quite shortly after then. We had this grotty house in Grange that we rented off these two weird old people. And it was like, you know, like you'd open a cupboard and all the cupboard door would be all rotting away.
Oh God.
And all the furniture was made of things that you'd slide off.
Oh no.
And every room had the same pattern, swirly pattern carpet, but in a different colour. So like it'd be like mustard swirls in the living room.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, the ones that were so swirly, they almost had faces in them.
Yeah.
And then the next room would be purple swirls, and the next room would be orange swirls.
That sounds horrifying.
It was like not a nice house.
Were you like worried when you were pregnant, or like soon after you had me, knowing that your mum had had such a hard time after having you?
No, because I thought I could do everything better than my mum.
Mm.
Love, career, having babies, I was going to do it all really easily. Yeah, so I was not worried about, no.
You said
I thought that like sheer force of personality could get me through anything at that point in my life.
No,
I was very naive.
Do you still think that? Do you still think that? I said.
Sometimes, but
yeah,
not so much.
Not always.
No, I'm not quite as, what's the word?
I don't know.
Like, it's not egotistical, but yeah.
I know what you mean.
I'm more used to things in life now than I was just like, you know. Think the best and it will happen, sort of thing, you know what I mean?
So you did experience like the blues, you said.
Yeah, but like, I had like in hospital on day three, I was just bawling my eyes out in the shower. I had no idea why. I was like, also, I had completely no idea that, like, you know, you have this tight, round belly when you're pregnant, but nobody like tells you what it's going to be like when the baby comes out. It's like this huge gray blancmangey sort of. It's like you're never going to get your own body back, and like when you're pregnant, it's like. You feel I
Quite
felt quite
nice.
nice and yeah attractive and then when I had the baby I was like I was exhausted. I'd had a cesarean so I was really sore. I just felt like I just felt completely out of I didn't know what was really happening to me. So yeah, and then like once I got home I wasn't down. But I was quite like an anxious parent, so I apologize for that because that probably affected you. But I
Made me
think,
the anxious
but
child
I think
that I
it's
am today.
like a lot of first children are anxious because parents are very anxious, aren't they? So like my mom said to me, you know, my mom is like not the most easygoing person, but we were in some shopping center, like Bromley Shopping Center one day in a cafe and you were like squalling. And I was like, trying to quiet you and everything. And she's like, oh, Ruth, relax. People are used to babies. You can't, like, oh. And I was like, oh my God, if my mum is
She's
telling me this, it's like,
telling
this must be bad. You know what I
Oh
mean?
my God.
But I was very sort of self-conscious and I felt quite young as a parent. And, you know, I just, it didn't like, I was like, I couldn't really relax. So I think I was quite uptight all the time.
And none of your friends had children, right?
None of our
No.
friends had children. Obviously, if we went back to the Olneys, then baby just went off somewhere on the rounds, you know what I mean? Like, there was so
Perfect.
many different pairs of hands or whatever. But even then, I felt a little bit incompetent, if you know what I mean? As in, because I could not relax
I
really.
know
I
what you
was
mean.
always really, like, probably picking you up when I didn't need to, or just fretting. Or I was just like, I couldn't concentrate on anything, to be honest. And also, then it was really boring because everybody's just talking to you about. Like, I really adored you, but every other conversation just stopped. So it was great to go to like courses and get back to work. And so when I had you, I was actually looking forward to going back to work a lot because I just felt like I'm just not that good at this on its own. I need to do some other things as well.
When did you start studying alongside working?
I think I was studying before I had you and after I had you and when I had Alice, so this is 1991.
So when you were pregnant?
Yes, on the 24th of July I went to see In Bed with Madonna at the Cannon Haymarket. And then on Saturday, the 27th of July, I flew to Antigua.
Did
And I was just pregnant, just pregnant. I had this friend at work called Sue Daniels, and
you?
she was from Antigua. And I went to Antigua with her and her brother, Jeremy. And so, yeah, we went to Antigua for, I think, 3 weeks. It was all very weird because I was pregnant. She kept trying to set me up with people. And I did get set up with someone.
Did you
Yeah. This guy called Errol.
who? Errol.
Yeah. He was Antigua. Yeah, so that was that. I wonder if I was studying that sort of. I don't think I did study that. Oh, I did. Look. Room G1, ground floor, main block, Birkbeck, registration, three passport photos, £90. So I think I must have.
I thought you meant you paid £90 for three passport
No, that was the fee for my course. Imagine
my
how cheap was
God.
that?
I wish it was like that now.
So I think I don't know now because I did a certificate in contemporary studies. Here it says Democracy and Revolution, and then it says the English Revolution, Britain at the turn of the century. This looks like my degree though, because it seemed to be 2 nights a week. The American Revolution, the social and economic impact of World War II. I was going two nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing a degree in humanities, so you could pick like literature, history, film.
Mm.
I don't know when I started that, whether it was the year before or this year. And then I transferred to history because I really liked history.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I started on three nights a week and then I went to two nights a week. So this looks like history because it says it seems to be two nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
No recollection of doing some of these things. Britain's post-war position.
Yeah.
No recollection. So I was doing the course when I was pregnant with you.
Mm-hmm.
And and then I would have gone back to that and then gone to Ireland for the summer.
Yeah.
And then gone back to work in the, I don't know, the autumn maybe?
Mm.
I don't know where the dates are, but I loved studying. When I look back at my dates and everything, it was like, loved it.
Mm.
It was like you met all these different people and just learned all this stuff.
Mm.
And I loved Birkbeck, all the different people coming and going. And so, yeah, it was amazing.
What made you decide to start studying?
The first year, so I could have gone to university in Cork, but I could only have done arts. And at that point in time, I wasn't that committed, if you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean. So I thought I would just spend like 3 years in the college bar, basically.
Yeah.
So I decided to give it a miss. And I also kind of wanted to move out of home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I definitely wanted to move out of home. Although I didn't in the end, I stayed at home
mm-hmm.
Until I moved to London. I never moved out in Cork. But I wanted like independence from my dad, like, is lovely, but he sort of would, his way of sort of keeping you on side
mm.
was to give you money, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So it's a kind of way of controlling you as well as of being a good, generous dad.
Mm.
So I wanted that. I wanted my own independence. And then when I came to London, I applied for a degree in anthropology
mm.
at SOAS.
Oh, really?
And I was offered a place.
Oh, right.
But then I looked at the finances. I was like, why did I think I could afford to do this course
to
and live
time.
In London? Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So I just turned it down. And
yeah.
Then I did this certificate in contemporary studies. So you did all these different subjects. So
mm.
it was sort of a precursor to going on a degree.
Mm-hmm.
You could decide then what you liked.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Mm.
But I was listening to something on the radio yesterday and they said that like, there's 61% decrease in part-time degree studies since all of the fees thing.
Oh, right.
And I was thinking, would I ever have done everything I've done, like a
if
BA
it costs
and
costs
an MA and a PhD, if I'd had to pay all those fees,
mm.
I never would have.
Mm.
But it's been, like, such an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm. I think it will really drop now.
Mm.
I think there are people doing undergraduates on the $9,000 more out of, because it's like a cultural habit for so many people to go to university,
mm-hmm.
but I think it will drop
because it doesn't have so much value. No.
Mm.
So, there we are.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to take a break?
Yeah.